Welcome to another PI World podcast. This is an audio-only version offered as another way to enjoy our great content. A full video version can be seen on piworld.co.uk, where you can find many more videos of interest to investors.
Hi, everyone, and thank you for joining our results presentation. I think most of you will be aware of what we do as a business, but I know there may be one or two new parties. Essentially, we help clients with communicating with their customers on different digital channels. So just a very brief overview of the business. At its heart is a software company, and we provide a range of cloud platforms and applications to help clients communicate and engage with their customers on the different digital channels. We typically work for large consumer organizations who will, again, typically have a long-term contract for our services. The business has grown organically for the last 17 years. And since IPO, roughly half the growth that you see here is organic and the rest is through acquisition. This year, we have split out our activities into our cloud communication products, which represent roughly 82% of last year's numbers, and 18%, which represents the work that we do for mobile carriers. To summarize, last year, it was an excellent year for us. We had good organic growth across our cloud communication products, so broadly 15% organic growth across all our regions and key verticals. What was particularly pleasing about the growth last year was that this was in all sectors and all regions, with our banking clients, our utilities clients, telco clients, logistics, as well as across UK, MEA, US. We saw double-digit growth across all our region key verticals. We also have made good progress in the US market. Yeah, that was something which we flagged for a while that we actually wanted to do, and that's something that we actually did last year. The US is the biggest addressable market for us. We attacked that market through essentially acquiring a business called 3C last year, which again I would have spoken to many of you about. That acquisition has been integrated, and we have now been upselling and cross-selling to the 3C customers. In addition to that, probably our biggest single win was with a global retailer that's based in the US. That was through a competitive tender process. And so we're helping that retailer with comms related to their pharmacy division. And again, that was testament to the strength of our offering and provided a great proof point for our technologies. In addition to the momentum in North America, we've also got great momentum going into this year. We've had a strong period of client wins last year, insurance, in banking, in leisure. And also we've had good progress on introducing new channels of engagement. So RCS, Apple Business Chat, and WhatsApp Business. So coming into this year, and pre-COVID at least, we were very confident and had lots of momentum. COVID clearly has been a challenge, I think, for everybody. We saw some initial headwinds in certain sectors and mitigated by growth in others. But overall, I think as we've announced recently in our trading update, we were flat organically year on year during Q1 and expect growth overall for the year in our cloud comms unit. Just a bit more on COVID here. As I said, as a business, we supply platforms for communication. Most of our customers would have carried on as normal because they need to communicate to their customers about overdraft alerts, for example, or that you've run out of data or that your parcel's been delivered. But in some sectors, and healthcare was the one that probably surprised us, the lack of movement and the lack of just operations in hospitals meant that communication there went down, and as a result, our revenues were impacted. There's obviously been an impact on the retail sector as the shops have been closed. It's been mitigated by an increased or enhanced volumes in our other sectors. Since towards the end of May, we've seen a steady recovery in those adversely impacted sectors. And overall, in the long term, we actually expect the impact of digital transformation to be accelerated as a result of COVID. As a business, we were able to quite quickly transition to working from home. We probably did that in a fortnight. We also took some initial actions to reduce salaries, obviously have travel bans, and raise some capital to give ourselves some financial flexibility as we come out of this. Following the performance in Q1, we reversed some of those measures and actually getting back to normality. One of the things that I said has been a positive from COVID is that there is a greater awareness and acceptance of digital channels for communication with customers. So not only the use of text and messaging channels, but also the use of video. And you know, we've got a picture there of one of our services for the NHS that's gone live, and a quote from a clinician. It's something which you know, we see that with the budgets obviously increasing but still under strain, the use of technology to deal with clinical diagnosis, it tends to be not the first appointment, but for example, the second or third follow-ups after a hospital appointment, some of them can be done through a video consultation. And we've seen a very good pickup of our products in that space.
Yeah, hi everybody. We're looking at a slide of KPIs, which are mostly income statement related. We're clearly very happy we're up in all key metrics again. So this is, we've included some 6-year CAGRs here, which effectively represent the last 13 results announcements since we listed, where we've been able to say we're up in all key metrics. We're particularly happy with our gross profit growth in the period. We had 26% growth, which includes the impact of the acquisition of 3C. Organically, gross profit grew by 7%, which, as we mentioned already, is a mix of growth in our cloud comms business at 15% organic and a decline in our VAS and payments area. I'll talk about those splits in a couple of slides' time. We also probably should call out here that we've continued our investment into new sales opportunities. So in our partnership area in the UK and in the US, we acquired the 3C business for just over half a year. And we acquired what was a break-even business. And through some of our own actions and through some growth, we've turned that into a profitable business. So the fact that we've been investing and the fact that we've acquired what was initially a break-even business has had something of a drag on our EBITDA margin in the period. But clearly, we feel very positive about the growth prospects and the margin expansion that will come in future periods from growth in North America, particularly. On balance sheet, we've clearly a few big changes in balance sheet. This is a balance sheet position before we made the placing in April. The big movements in the year here were driven by the acquisitions. So goodwill and borrowings increased. And then, of course, we took the decision to come back to shareholders and ask for some support or some strength in the balance sheet, which we did, as I said, in April. Another good thing to talk about is our continuing strong cash generation. See, 111% of adjusted cash from operations converted in the period. And I think if you look back over certainly the period since listing, but actually if you go back 8 years, we're now looking at broadly 100% of EBITDA turning to cash in that period. As I said, at the period end, we had a net debt position of £22 million because we'd added to our debt facilities to help finance the 3C acquisition. And we raised a very similar amount in our placing in April. So when you add in the placing cash to the period end position, we were broadly zero debt and zero cash. But in the end of Q1, we obviously issued another trading update to just let the market know how we got on. And so we clearly generated some cash in the first quarter, thanks in large part to the cost saving measures that we took, which comfortably mitigated some of the declines that we'd seen in that first quarter. This is really the first time we've delved into the detail of splitting out the two major business units. And the reason for doing this, breaking out cloud comms and operator VAS is really because it's very clear these are two quite different types of business. You can see on here we have very different customer verticals. I mean, so the cloud comms business is much more diverse and spread, whereas the operator VAS and payments is largely sold to operators. We also want to make it clear that the quality of revenues is quite different. So these gross profit splits, that the right-hand two donut charts on the slide, we have a good portion, 30% of our gross profit comes from fixed fees in the cloud comm space, whereas the operator VAS and payments, whilst reasonably predictable, is not made up of contracted fixed fees at all. It's mostly transactional revenues. Both divisions have high recurring revenues. 60% of the cloud comms business comes from what we describe as usage-based fees, so either contract license fees increasing or stepping into different tiers as the platforms are used more, or it's simply the sending and receiving of messages through our platforms, which drives incremental gross profit there. Another thing to probably call out, particularly for this group, is the relative level of profitability in the group coming from the cloud comms area. We've, again, for the first time, because we're calling these numbers out, we've been able to break out the EBITDA contribution from the cloud comms business. So roughly £23 million pounds of EBITDA has come from that area. And with a relatively modest £1 million coming from the VAS and payments area, clearly when you add these together, it adds up to more than our total EBITDA, because we have some central PLC listing costs and some central management costs as an additional overhead to be taken from this. But the important thing is we've had good growth in the cloud comms area. 82% in the period is the mix of cloud comms versus VAS, but actually that only includes a partial period of 3C, as I've said. And as we indicated in our trading update at the end of Q1, the cloud comms business is now approaching 90% of the total gross profit. We have seen good growth in that part of the business organically. 16%, I think, over the last 4 years is what we've seen at a gross profit level. And I can't see any reasons why that would reduce. We have good momentum in the US and a huge market opportunity there for that part of the business. Back to Jay.
Just remind everybody about, you know, what the cloud comms products are. You know, we have what's called an enterprise CPaaS platform called iMyConnect. This essentially provides IT in an organization with all the tools to enable them to embed communication into business processes. So everything from sending out parcel notifications to fraud alerts to reminding you to pay your bills. On top of that, we have a range of different business applications that different parts of a business, campaign, chat, etc., that different lines of business would use and would have different workflows attached to those applications. The market opportunity that we're going after is really one that is emerging and is really at the intersection of these three different parts of a business that look to communicate with customers. So obviously marketing looks to communicate with customers, you have customer support has communication with customers, and IT communicates with customers. And there is today still a lot of silos of communication in big organizations. The silos of communication often mean that the customer gets a poor customer experience. The data's in different silos, different channels are used, different vendors are used. And what you're seeing in the market in general is a consolidation of systems. Where we have a particular advantage, a differentiator, is that as a business, we've always been involved in essentially two-way interactive real-time communication between a business and its customers. You know, we've been mobile first, and that differentiator and core DNA of IMI is what we often find is the differentiator when we pitch our solution into large corporations. Now, they often need some solution that stitches together all the different systems. And it's something which, you know, Forrester, Gartner, IDC, and the market itself is increasingly recognizing as a need for large corporates to put in place systems that enable a consistent communication strategy across all their different business units. So just going onto Europe, you know, one of the things that we've had consistently across Europe, and I think this chart could be taken back another 5 years, is consistent organic growth across largely the UK. So I mean, I'd say 90% of this is in the UK. Half of the growth tends to be delivered through working with existing customers, finding new use cases and upselling or cross-selling the different products. And then the half comes from signing new clients. Just to give you a flavor of the kind of upsell cross-sells, you know, we've worked increasingly with the likes of Vodafone and TalkTalk this year, and the major banks like Lloyds, RBS and Capital One. Our clients like Hermes are sending out more parcels. Another client is E.ON in utilities. You know, all have we've managed to increase our footprint with them. We've had good double-digit growth in healthcare as hospitals, at least pre the kind of shock, we're having using more digital channels for communication. Looking forward to next year, and this is really the key, is the deals we would have signed in the last 6 months, and that includes banks like Sainsbury's and HSBC, and insurance companies like D&G. You know, we've had a very good period of new client wins. So we go into FY21 with a lot of confidence. One of the other things that's happened in the year is that the adoption of RCS by telcos in different parts of Europe has actually opened up more opportunities on the mainland. So we are working, I think we previously said we work with Telia in Scandinavia, Telefonica in Spain, some of the German operators. And again, I think largely because they themselves are looking at how to utilize RCS, how to give RCS offerings to their own customers. And we're a market leader in that particular channel. You know, going forward, you know, we'd expect this kind of run rate to continue. If we can get some of the partnerships and some of the mainland Europe growth coming through, it could accelerate this growth rate as well. In the Americas, key highlights, the first one was organically winning a very large US retail client through a competitive tender process. They had been working with another vendor for 5 years, had decided that they weren't quite getting what they wanted, ran a pretty thorough comprehensive tender process mid to late last year. At that time, 3C was being acquired. It hadn't been acquired. And we managed to win that tender process and then essentially integrate with 3C so that we could have one delivery organization. The project was delivered in July, and it's given us a real big tick in the box on the relevance of the product set in that market. 3C business, again, was acquired because they had a good blue chip client list. They also have direct connections to the mobile carriers in the US, which there's only really five vendors in the US that have got that. And so we're now one of them. And we managed to integrate that business. Thankfully, we had at least 4 or 5 months pre-COVID when travel was relatively free and we could all meet each other. And we managed to get everybody onto the same system. So I'm pretty happy that we've got that integration complete. And in terms of North America, again, going forward, the workshops we've had with 3C customers, those workshops typically tend to be half a day to a day with different business leaders within our clients coming in and us presenting the broad portfolio of what we do and finding opportunities to increase our footprint. We've got a number of those now in deployment. The one that was particularly relevant during COVID was, I think maybe even relevant going forwards, is the idea of curbside pickup. Rather than going into stores, essentially ordering online and picking up on the curb, curbside, and essentially using digital messaging as a way of notifying the store that you're there, then notifying you that your parcels or your goods are ready. And we'll see a lot more use of digital in general. And you know, we do have with 3C's customers, it's essentially a captive audience that we can go and talk to about, you know, all these new technologies. The new logo wins, you know, it wasn't just in retail. The one in retail kind of happened last year and it was a deployment. In recent weeks, we've also won a big sort of financial services organization that, again, gives us good confidence, a hospitality group as well. And those were just new logos for both 3C and IMI. What I think is established is that this clear market opportunity we talk about, the market for what we do is competitive. There are lots of players in the market. We target a particular part of that market, identified it there. It's large enterprises with complex legacy infrastructure. And these large enterprises need more than just a set of communication APIs. We supply a lot more software to these organizations. And the procurement process is a tender and workshop led. So that gives us an opportunity to sit down with the technical folks at our clients so they can play with the technologies and understand our roadmaps. This is a kind of high touch part of selling, but the rewards are also great as well, because you ultimately end up signing multi-year contracts and with the opportunity to earn a lot of money from some of these big organizations. One thing we've also found in the US is that we've been able now to have live implementations of Connect, Chat and Campaign, and with Assist and the other products we've also got also being deployed. And we've been able to do that and get them live without much change to the technology. So again, that's work that we've done this year. I would say that it sets us up very well for the coming years. And we believe we're ready to scale. This year, we'll be investing more in our brand awareness and also particularly investing in analyst recognition. We've had some recognition from Gartner and from Forrester. We're typically one of very few non-US companies that they mention in this space. But now that we've got some great references in the US market, I think we'll be trying to capitalize on those references to really expand our footprint in the US. In the cloud communication sector also, you know, we mustn't underestimate that, you know, there is significant growth potential in the Middle East, Africa, and Asia Pac. In the Middle East and Africa, we've worked with the likes of Absa, Capitec, Old Mutual, I think, launched, I think, a WhatsApp service to talk to their customers. We see, you know, again, this will be a long-term positive structural trend, you know, to the use of new channels. And we are, again, one of the, I'd say, prime vendors in those markets, you know, with an enviable client list. Similarly, in Asia-Pac, this is typically India. You know, we've seen an incredible set of new logos with the likes of Mercedes, Hyundai, Toyota, and a bunch of new brands wanting to use new channels for engaging with their customers. And it's not for necessarily advertising, because it's all to do with customers they know they have, and these new channels provide just a more real-time, two-way interactive medium. And as you can see, you know, we've had very good growth there as well. The growth strategy we've spoken about previously, and again, so I just wanted to repeat it, that, you know, there really has been, you know, four legs to it. You know, one has been just to grow our share of interactions with existing accounts. And we've now got, you know, 46 customers, over £500,000 a year versus 40 last year. 25 of them are over £1 million a year. You know, we're growing quite significantly our six-figure accounts. And, you know, and what tends to happen is that, you know, we will start with any kind of service initially, with a view that once we're trusted, we can increase our presence within these organizations. Working with partnerships, we've always had partnerships with telcos, the likes of BT, Telia, O2, Telefonica. They're increasingly looking for more solutions as well to push to enterprise. But CommuniSys is a customer experience management business, printing and other technologies. We're looking for digital tools. Talkdesk is a cloud contact center vendor looking for channels. We've worked with Blue Prism, an RPA vendor, and, you know, we're seeing, you know, more opportunities to help other technology vendors as well with our technologies. I'm going to talk about the new channels in a minute. And during the year, I mentioned 3C, but we also bought a business called Rostrum late last year, a small business that helped us fill a technology gap in our offering for contact centers, where we can obviously do all the digital channels, but we've essentially added a voice capability. I think the new communication channels is something which, again, I mention them every time, but it's something which, you know, we can't underestimate just how much traction is happening. You know, you're seeing the use of these channels for the initial use cases. So not widespread adoption just yet, but everybody's experimenting and seeing, you know, what use cases work on them. And you can see the use of buttons there and pictures. You know, we had some stats from, you know, EE and others around, you know, the effectiveness of RCS when they've actually used it properly. So I think they were expecting something like 5% of their users to use the channel for a particular launch of a phone. And when the results actually came in, they were something like 20% actual signups for a new phone came in from RCS. We're sitting currently on top of a lot of very insightful data around how to use the channels. We're able to use that data, and we're able to kind of talk to new customers about how effective these channels can be. And it is something which has also accelerated our ability to get new logos quickly, because obviously we can deliver some of these things without so much dependency on other parts of the business. It's an area I think that, you know, we'll keep coming back to as it grows. The operator investment payment sector is based on our product called IMI Digital, which is essentially a content management platform that enables customer experiences on different devices. It's been used for content portals, used for self-care portals. So there you can see a portal that enables customers to add data, add voice. And another part of the business is a UK carrier billing business called Tap to Bill. And again, if you look at the trends in that sector, there were really three different trends. The UK payments business and the carrier billing business, there was a headwind there. You know, we don't expect that to change anytime soon. Regulation and just changing consumer habits are leading to a structural decline in that sector. In APAC and MEA, I would say that our work with carriers has some good years and then some years that are not so good. You know, last year in APAC, we were flat. We had a good year working with Indosat, and Telenor was a quiet year. the survey was a customer, but there were just fewer projects for them. And in MEA, again, we had a good year with some customers, and MTN has continued some of its kind of decline in some of the numbers there. But long term, I think the thing that I always try to get across is that we are working with some of the biggest telcos and companies that invest in those economies, and we see that opportunities will be there for future growth. It just tends to be a bit more inconsistent compared to the cloud comm sector. So in terms of summary outlook, we were very pleased with last year's performance. We're happy that the business has been resilient during COVID, and that now we're seeing a recovery back up. We think the momentum in the US market is, firstly, we've established momentum in the US market, and we've got a really good momentum going into this year, and that we're going to put some money behind. And even though there's been obviously some impact from COVID overall, it should be good for the group. And again, just I think to highlight the investment case, I think the structural growth opportunity, just the move to digital channels, well, the move to digital in general, as accelerated by COVID, and then the introduction of new channels, we're very well positioned for. We have grown organically for a number of years, even though we've had this quarter. I think we'll keep that track record going. We own our IP, and that has enabled us to be very quick off the mark on things like eClinic. We're a market leader in some territories, and we think we've got a really good opportunity to increase our market share in the US. And obviously, the team has been around for quite a long time, and also owners of the business. So I think we can move on to questions.
We do have a question that's just come in from David Johnson from Allenby, who asks, what is the realistic growth aspirations for the VAS business? Would it benefit from an acquisition?
I think it's a question of focus as much as anything. I think that if you exclude the carrier billing business in the UK, I would like to think that we can grow single digit over a period of time as a CAGR. The challenge we have is that we have some very big customers there. So, sometimes a big telco like we had a while ago with Telenor, would suddenly need quite a few things, and we would ramp up and license and work, and that would be a great year. And then it may not repeat the following year. So I do think it's something which, going forwards, I've wanted to stay in with these relationships, because the telcos, as they also mature in those markets, will introduce things like RCS, will introduce more interesting, will provide more interesting ways for us to work with them. So that's why it's a business that we think we continue with. Acquiring that in that area, I think, would be a distraction at this point, considering the opportunity in the cloud comms area.
And Paul Olfans from Chome Capital asks, can you elaborate on the US prospects aside the National Service Organization logo win you were talking about earlier?
Well, what I'll say is that we've won a division of that business that's a $50 billion division that is obviously part of a bigger group, and it's and the group is multiple times bigger than that. And I think successfully delivering essentially what is a kind of critical service around reminders for prescriptions and other such services, I think will definitely open up other parts of that organization. We've already seen that happen, and we've already had lots of contact with different parts of that organization and different parts of that organization globally. But our focus absolutely has been on getting initial deliveries right, which we have.
And Janardan Menon from Liberum asks, what do you see as the timescale for more meaningful adoption of RCS amid your client base? Would this have any impact on your gross margins?
I would say that the challenge with all the new channels, whether it's RCS, Apple Business Chat, or WhatsApp, is that the reach ultimately of those channels is decided by those big tech giants and the telcos. And the pricing is ultimately decided by the big tech giants and the telcos. And yeah, they're great channels. And the timing will be really a function of when they get reach and supply easy to understand pricing to the market. I think we're still in the process of that price discovery. We have worked in the UK, particularly with all the telcos who actually now have, I would say, got decent reach. So probably a quarter of all UK handsets can get RCS on an application to person basis. The telcos themselves have got slightly different views on pricing. I don't think the pricing will impact our business massively. I think if anything, it's going to increase our let's call it gross margin and allow us to actually make more money per interaction. The timing on it, we've seen. We, for example, took live a UK customer, Pharmacy to You, in the last few weeks. There's a few more that we've got in the hopper. I'd say this year is still going to be where people try Medium out. What I think has been interesting, and as I said earlier, is that the telcos themselves are using the channels for their own marketing purposes. And the results are very, very good. And it's 5-10x on other channels in terms of response rates, adoption. And as a result of that, though, unfortunately, it makes pricing for it a bit complex when they're trying to resell that to other brands. But I would think this year is a year of more experimentation. And I'd like to think 2021, you're going to start seeing more mainstream adoption. The US market, we've seen T-Mobile announce their launch of their RCS availability. So there, again, you've had several millions of people added to reach. And we've seen more progress now there as well. And this is a market by market thing, and we're seeing different markets adopt RCS at different rates. Spain is a market that's also moving quite quickly in RCS. Apple has announced more general availability of its Apple Business Chat functionality to more vendors. So that's also going to add a spur to the market. And with WhatsApp, you've also seen big adoption of WhatsApp, particularly in the emerging markets.
And we have a question from Casper Erskine from N+1 Singer.
I mean, one of the KPIs that came out of the results is customers delivering more than primary care revenues continues to tick up. I think it's 46, as mentioned. I just need to know how many more of those whales have you got in your existing customer base? And then maybe if we could touch upon rostrum integration as well and the contact center potential there, that'd be great.
Okay. On the whales front, we've also disclosed how many are in the 100 to 500 bracket. And there's probably at least 100 customers in that bracket. And, one of the core initiatives that the group has is around upselling to that audience. So for example, there would be some UK well-known high street retailers in that bracket that could spend a multitude more, and I would think at least half of the guys in that bracket could be in the 500 million bracket. I think that what we see is that it's really a function of how many digital identities does the customer have. So again, typically a bank may have 10 to 15 million, a carrier has got 20 million, a utility again may have 5 to 10 million. whereas a retailer may have two or three. And then it's really a question of the velocity of communication to that base that then determines how much they use our platforms. And there is quite a linear relationship between the velocity of communication, the number of people in the database, and then how much they're actually using our platforms. And that's where, you know, we see the big whales being, a lot of them being in the US, where the very large US companies have got huge numbers of digital identities that they want to communicate with. But we've got a really good base, as I say, in that 100 to 500 range. And we'd expect to move over a period of time a significant amount of them up. With Rostrum, Rostrum was a cloud contact center vendor that's been around for quite a long time, really, with an expertise, particularly in voice and the voice channel. And what we've been finding is that our solution often has to interface with other contact center vendors. So, you know, our Connect solution interfaces with Avaya, with Genesys, with Cisco, with a range of other contact center solutions out there. And we were finding that customers, you know, often were getting at times frustrated that they could not implement automation because their existing contact center vendor hadn't either changed their software quickly enough or wasn't being responsive enough. So with Rostrum, you know, we've been able to add voice to our own solution and essentially provide a end-to-end solution for customer interactions that can be automated. And to the extent that they can't be automated and somebody wants to talk to an agent, then, you know, we can pass on the conversation to our own piece of software that sits in the contact center. So we have quite a few customers now that, you know, will use us to, you know, for example, send out some kind of reminder or explanation about a bill, and the customer can do an automated conversation. And to the extent they then want to talk to a customer service agent, they can talk to that customer service agent in IMI chat that now has voice attached to it. So that was the it was led by a business need. And the fact that some of our customers were facing, you know, quite lengthy project timelines to change their existing software to deal with automation, and, you know, we've been able to give them solutions quite quickly as using things like Rostrum.
And now we'll go to Kevin Ashton at N Plus One Singer.
Yeah, hi, gentlemen.
Hi, Kevin.
I was just looking at your comment on, I guess it's slide 5, about opportunities, and you're talking about the fact that you rolled out crisis communications, and you obviously talked through a few things there. I mean, clearly this has been a massive area. Yep. It's an area with a lot of, I guess, a lot of legacy competitors too. I just wondered if this is, if this is just sort of something you're just doing in these kind of tough times, or whether this could be a strategic thing as well.
It's interesting for us, for sure. We were asked by a lot of our customers to quickly turn our software into things that would enable them to broadcast at scale, in very short periods. Which we could do. So, I mean, for example, we were the ones who sent out the telcos sent out all the NHS alerts. So, you know, we work with all the telcos. You know, we could do that. Now, there are certain tools or products in our portfolio that we are going to add as applications to deal with some of these kind of situations. We're clearly not going to try and compete with some of the bigger players, but there are uses for our technology in mass employee communication, in times of emergencies, I'd call that a solution that our platforms could do, and that we'd be packaging up and obviously selling, and obviously places like the US, where you have it's a complex ecosystem of states and time zones and all sorts of different things, and we're particularly well placed to actually provide that solution in that market. The other things there as well, the remote contact center, we've got deployments of our contact center with home workers, essentially logging into a browser and having all the functionality they would if they were sitting in a physical location. And again, that is something that also can't be underestimated as a change that's happened as a result of COVID. And again, we've got a solution for that as well with our iMyChat, and with voice and product.
Okay, thanks. And I guess while I've got you, how about other applications? Things like IT alerting or something sort of PagerDuty style and that kind of thing. I'm just thinking about other applications.
We do that kind of stuff at scale today. So. The iMyConnect Enterprise CPaaS platform is used today, by banks and others to do systems down, IT alerting, the only real difference between us and maybe some of the other cloud players you see is a lot of them have got cloud API pay as you go based go to market models.
Yeah.
What we see is that those models can be very capital intensive, particularly in the US market. What we have is we have a model that is much more targeted towards large enterprise, where the large enterprise is procuring a platform that goes across the entire business. So it's not a single developer making a decision. It's not even just the developers or the IT, it's the entire business looking at procuring something for multiple years. And I think there's a place for both styles of procurement. Some businesses are happy, particularly Silicon Valley businesses, where the developers will just use lots of cloud tools and get on with what they need to do. Maybe more of the more I'd say traditional businesses with lots of legacy infrastructure take a more I'd say considered approach about what they actually need and run big procurement processes. And what we've found is that we're very competitive in those procurement processes from a feature function capability perspective. And also clearly we're also somebody that in those situations is not doing things on a pay-as-you-go basis. People have to commit for multiple years to us, and we think there's a big market opportunity for that kind of model, as well as obviously the pay-as-you-go developer-led model as well. There's space for all of us in that market.
And Paul Alphons from Chome Capital has a three-part question. How much of the usage-driven CPaaS revenue today is SMS? As the RCS penetration goes up with your own client base, do you expect this to be cannibalized? Do you have any insights from your pilots with early adopters?
On the usage, it's probably 75%, I would think, of usage, but it's not all pass through cost of SMS, which results from that. It's the impact that the usage has on the volumes, which tends to push license revenues up into higher tiers as well. So there is obviously a linear relationship between the number of SMSs sent and the amount we charge for SMS usage. But then obviously more volumes through our platforms for our clients incurs greater costs. I think on the second part,
It depends on which use case. I think the RCS will take over some of the use cases. So for example, sending out, one thing which definitely I think they should look out for in the next year or so is the idea of what was called branded text, where it's actually, it's RCS underneath, but you don't necessarily market it as RCS. It really adds a authentication layer and a brand to the SMS. And if you think about how much fraud on email, fraud in general, for all sorts of issues about using digital, if you can essentially send some communication that is branded, and the branding is controlled by gatekeepers like the operators, or by Google or by Apple, that has a premium attached to it, which we believe that brands, particularly banks and others, will pay. So you might, for example, it may cost you 1 cent or whatever, 2p or whatever, to send an SMS, but and it will say maybe Barclays in a text header, or but if you could get a image that you knew for sure was Barclays, because it has to go through a gateway where the brand has had to register the brand imagery, and that way the consumer absolutely knows it's the end customer. The view is that brands will pay a premium for that, and I think we've tested that in the market, and we've probably come out at around about a sort of 2x premium to a basic SMS. So we do see that some use cases will transfer. Some of those use cases will carry a premium because of the ability to use branding, the ability to use rich in media. But at the same time, I think RCS also adds new use cases that are just not possible on the existing channels today. And again, when I say use the word RCS, I think I mean the new channels. The ability to have a conversation into a payment mechanism. We ran a POC where post somebody buying a phone, they received a RCS campaign to upsell them accessories. AirPods, different accessories, subscriptions to Spotify, and you then would subscribe by essentially using Google Pay. That's obviously built into the flow. So that's something that's very hard to achieve on the existing channels. What we see with some of these new channels is a substitution, and probably a substitution with a premium away from some of the other channels, but then also new use cases being possible. And what I think the best way to look at it is that a lot of the functionality that exists in these new channels is functionality that today is in an app on the device. So for example, you may have an app to buy tickets, and that is an app that may have 10% penetration of a particular customer base, because not everybody likes downloading apps for everything. That functionality that sits in an app that's been built for the app, 70, 80, 90% of it can be replicated on the new rich media channels. So we see some of the use cases coming from what you might think of as an app use case. That's what makes us quite excited about these new channels, because once they get reach, some of our customers will say, actually, I don't need an app, particularly for anything that involves a one-off purchase, or something that where you've forgotten that you even had the app. In terms of the results that we've seen initially, I think those results, again, have been excellent. I think when we've been sending or been posting blogs about some of the results, one was something around the fact that 25% of people responded to an offer from Vodafone versus other channels, which would have been a 1-2% response rate. We mentioned some of the work that EE had done. They had managed to they publicly spoke about this with us. They ran 4 campaigns to look at engagement. SMS, email, and MMS were stuck in the 2-4% range. On the first campaign that they ran, they also got a similar 2% response rate on RCS. And the second one was roughly 2%. The third one was 6%. And then the fourth one, after optimization, was 31%. Now, you know, again, it just illustrates for me, you know, and again, I mean, thankfully, this is on the GSMA website, so it's all public, but it basically illustrated that you've got to really work out how to use the medium for effectiveness. And we know, and we're still, you know, very much in the early days of that. But we do think, you know, like all these mediums, the use cases tend to find the mediums. So over the next, I'd say even months, it's definitely next year, you're going to see some use cases go to these mediums because they're better suited.
Thanks, Jay. That's the end of the questions. Do you have any closing remarks?
In terms of headlines, we're very happy with last year. We're resilient through the COVID period. You know, we've got good momentum going into this year. I think that, you know, our two big vectors of opportunity is just the North American market in general. You know, we've managed to get a flagship customers that you know, will help us get more customers and validate the technology. And then I think, you know, so you can't underestimate the impact that the new channels are going to have. Yeah, you know, once they get you know, decent reach.
PI World videos and podcasts, you know, are for general information and interest. They do not constitute any kind of recommendation or inducement to buy shares of any company. PI World is not offering any kind of financial advice, and nothing in our material should be taken as such.